To look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Tonight, our guest is Paul McGuire, and Paul McGuire is a great friend of the show, and he has done so much work to advance the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, as well as his new radio show. Folks, you got to check this out. The Paul McGuire Report. It airs 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. And go to paulmcguire.us, check out his new radio show. We're going to be talking a little bit about this here in this hour, as he's been doing shows each and every day, as well as his new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. Also, Paul will be speaking at the upcoming Hear the Watchman Conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, folks, anybody who is able to go, I recommend that you do go. September 30th through October 2nd, be a part of Hear the Watchman Conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're going to get to see some great speakers from Paul McGuire, who is our guest tonight, to Josh Tolley, a regular guest of the show. J.B. Wells will be there, Russ Dizdar, Pastor Flip Benham, Pastor Langford, and many others. And you can get your tickets at a discounted price of $99. Also, until the 24th of this month, if you purchase your tickets before and up to the 24th, you will get a free copy of Paul's new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And again, this conference is in Knoxville, September 30th to October 2nd. Folks, go to hearthewatchmen.com. That's hearthewatchmen.com. Now, Paul, you were in Hear the Watchman in Dallas, and we were there as well, but you, as you have been doing lately, have a number of speaking and conference commitments that you were a part of, and you only got to stay for about a day in Dallas. You're going to be in Knoxville for the whole 3 days, is that correct?
Yes, I will, and Hear the Watchman in Knoxville, at the Knoxville Marriott, as you just said, September 30th to October 2nd. I'll be there the whole 3 days. And based on the Hear the Watchman conference I spoke to at Dallas, where you and your dad were there, and a number of other, all the speakers were there too, and you were speakers. In fact, you guys introduced me, which was an honor. That was a powerful conference. All I can say to people that have not come out to a Hear the Watchman conference, first of all, it was packed. The atmosphere was electrifying. People were excited, passionate, and enthusiastic. The power of God was all over the place. You could feel it. So, you know, it's time for people to stop, you know, being all by themselves, get on a plane, and go to the Hear the Watchman conference and register. It was powerful. I would have to say, it was one of the most powerful conferences I've ever been to. It was just the atmosphere was electrifying, and it was just it was something you just don't forget. So people really need to find out about it and register and physically show up. It's not just a conference. This thing is electric, and they need to join me and the other speakers at Hear the Watchman at the Knoxville Marriott.
Absolutely. And again, that's www.hearthewatchmen.com, September 30th through October 2nd. Get your tickets here in the next before the end of next week at a price of $99. After that, they go up to about, I think, $139 or $149. And if you're able to go, I suggest you go not only for the speakers, but for the fellowship and the spiritual atmosphere and environment that's there. It's one of healing and of love. And if it's half as good as the Dallas conference, which I know it will be, it's definitely worth anybody and everybody's time who will be able to get there. Paul, your new show, the Paul McGuire Report, that you started, you want to tell us a little bit about how that's been going?
Sure. First of all, we just started it about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, I forget. It airs every Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day on Blog Talk Radio. And we have all kinds of apps so they can listen to it on their cell phone or whatever. They simply go to paulmcguire.us and they can watch it on YouTube or Blueberry or SoundCloud and iTunes. You know, we have all the apps for them. And it airs from 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It starts and different time zones. If you miss it, you can go into the archives and catch it. It's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 hours a day. A good link, if you forget the Blog Talk link, is paulmcguire.us. And the purpose of the program is, it's not to do another Hagman & Hagman report. You guys are doing a phenomenal job in what you're doing, and our emphasis is a little bit different. I do analysis of current events from Bible prophecy, but I also do Bible prophecy teaching, and I get more into Bible prophecy teaching as well as ministry and teaching of the other areas of the Bible, but I relate it to current events and everything to the supernatural warfare and all kinds of stuff. So it's a very powerful show, but we have a different emphasis, let's say, than the Hagman & Hagman Report. And I hope people will check us out and listen to it, and then just stay connected to Blog Talk Radio, because your show, the Hagman & Hagman Report, comes on, I guess, an hour or two after my show. So you guys are one of the reasons I decided to do it. I said to myself, I'm never going to go back in radio. I'll just be in other people's shows. But what we're doing is different, and people are being ministered to, and that's the reason we do it. So I hope people will check it out and listen to the Paul McGuire Report. But thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll be promoting it as much as possible. And I think people out there, you can subscribe, as Paul said, through either SoundCloud or iTunes. I know many people like and appreciate the iTunes, because each day they can download the show and listen to it, start and stop it as they please. You can do that on SoundCloud also. There's a phone app for that. Makes it very handy on the go, on your phones, wherever you are. It brings it right to you. Paul, this hour I'd like to start out by getting into the Nice terror attacks in France. And there's been some new developments here. Now, there was a narrative going around that this was some kind of spontaneous, angry Muslim who took a truck and rampaged through the Bastille Day celebration, killing 84 people and wounding several hundred others. But now it's come out that the Nice terrorist had accomplices and for months had help in training and plotting the attacks. Now, the media has been reporting this, as I said, as a, you know, kind of a lone wolf, angry, you know, just kind of went off the hinges and did this. Now they can't stand behind that anymore. Do you see, and I already know the answer to this, what do you see how this is going to continue with these increasing the number of frequency and the number of victims seem to continue to increase as these attacks get worse and worse? how's this going to continue to play out in France and in other European countries? Then, as it pertains to America, what are we to expect in America with the increasing ISIS and radical Islam attacks?
Well, all of those questions are very important, and I'm glad you asked that. And I ask myself, every time I see this stuff happen in Europe, I get this very strong, uneasy feeling, and it's beyond emotion. It's just a deep sense of uneasiness of it's going to happen here. It's not that I'm trying to be negative. It's just that it's a warning. It's happening there, and it's going to happen here. And the question is, what are we going to do about it before it happens in an attempt to stop it? What can we do about it to be proactive? Because it's happening there. It's going to happen here. Now, I just happened to be in Paris a week and a half after the Charlie Hebdo terrorist attacks. And I was speaking on Bible prophecy at a very large church in Paris of 12,000 members. But when I was walking around the streets of Paris, everybody was on high alert. The police were out in the streets. Normally they don't carry guns, but there were a lot of police authorities carrying guns. But the French were totally unprepared psychologically and physically. They don't have guns in Paris, France. They're very socialist. They look to the government to do everything. And I don't mean to be unkind or insulting to the French, because I'm partially French. My grandmother was from France. But they're almost childlike in their response. They're very dependent. They expect the government to be the big mommy or big daddy to take care of them, unlike a lot of people in America. There's a soft target. They're a sitting duck. So then the other terrorist attacks happened at the concert. Again, they were sitting ducks. And then what happened in Nice, it doesn't surprise me that it was an organized, well-planned attack. And it doesn't surprise me that the French wouldn't want to come forth with that, because that... By saying that it was organized and it took months to plan, there's an indicting question is, well, how come your intelligence didn't know about it if it took months to plan? How come your French intelligence and your police agencies didn't uncover it? That's the question that would be asked next. Why were the people slaughtered? Why were you not able to stop it? And it's interesting that you asked me this question, because I had a prophetic dream about two nights ago. And again, I define these things. I don't have, I'm very careful about the usage of these terms like prophetic dreams. So I don't have that many prophetic dreams. I have them on occasion, but this was a very strange dream, and it was a prophetic dream because it was so realistic and so vivid. But it was... And I actually wrote down in the middle of the night on my laptop, which I have in front of me, some key bullet points of what the Lord was trying to show me in the dream, because I know myself, and I know I would have forgotten everything, including the fact that I had the dream. In fact, I forgot that I had the dream until you brought this topic up. And it was a prophetic dream. And what happened in the dream, I was awoken by the sound of what it was, a stampede, and it was like I awakened to a stampede of the sound of running people. Many people were running in terror and fear, and it was almost like I was looking at a landscape that wasn't flat. It was like oval, like the earth. So people were running in a stampede like fashion. And there was terror in the air and fear in the air, and people were trampling over one another. And it was a prophetic dream that consisted of this stampede on the earth. And then I was very aware of the fact that this stampede was instilling fear in people, and that the fear was contagious. This fear was spreading. all over the place, and that the fear from the stampede was causing all kinds of strange movements in society and all kinds of societal and social organization disruptions. And then the fear that came about because of the stampede on the earth, and what preceded the stampede on the earth was some kind of terrorist attack. It was driving people to do things that were very weird, and to attempt to escape more of it, they were moving to all kinds of places because they were seeking out all kinds of what they thought would be safe places in their mind. And then, in this prophetic dream that I had, the concept was that immersed the dream was the idea of a one-world government and a one-world economic and a one-world religious system. This the dream morphed into this concept of a global government, a global religion, and a global economic system, and then the idea of a centralized authority dominated the theme of the dream, and then the idea that time was accelerating, that everything was accelerating at a faster and faster rate regarding the stampede on the earth, and the stampede instilling fear, and then creating the causal factors for a global government, a global religious system, and a global economic system. And it was accelerating. And then the purpose of the dream, of this stampede on the earth, was that it was a prophetic dream to warn God's people of the lateness of the hour prophetically. And I wrote all this down because I would have forgotten it. So it's the prophetic dream is directly tied into the question you asked me. And these events that are happening, like in Nice, or like the nightclub where there was the shooting, or the cops that were shot in Dallas, or San Bernardino, or the concert hall in France, they're happening more and more frequently, and they're escalating in their size and intent. And my concern is that in Europe, the people are totally unprepared. And what I mean by unprepared is that they're unprepared spiritually for these things happening, because they're going to happen with an increasing in frequency. But the reason for the prophetic dream, and this is, by the way, why I wrote A Prophecy of the Future of America and A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. The books were written as prophetic warnings to the country that you and I live in, the United States of America, that when we see these things happen in Europe and other places, we're not in some isolated place. God is giving us an advance warning that these kinds of things are going to happen here with increasing intensity. They're already starting to happen here, at the present moment, they're at a minor level. But my concern is, and I'm going to be very straightforward, and my purpose in being straightforward is not to instill fear or panic or paranoia. But my concern is, and I'm going to get right to the point. My consuming concern is that we are going to experience an event that happens very suddenly, where it's going to be a high casualty event with a great number of loss of American lives, and it will be unexpected and it will be suddenly. And there's a number of ways that it could come, whether it's nuclear or a gunman or whatever, and it's going to cause a lot of casualties, and there's going to be death and destruction, and this is my concern. The Lord has been calling his people for a long time to pray seriously against these things from happening. The Lord has been calling his people for a long time to take the mantle of intercessors to act as intercessory prayer warriors, to repent of their own sins, to repent of the sins of the church and the nation, and to ask God for supernatural protection from these things. But the reality is that the vast majority of God's people are not listening to the warnings of the Lord at all. And those that are hearing the warnings of the Lord are not responding in obedience, and they're not taking it upon themselves to actually pray and intercede and ask God for his supernatural protection in a proactive manner, so that God would prevent or limit or restrain these things from happening. So if God's people, that's me and you and all of your listeners and the people that we know, when we see things like in Nice, that's a warning to us, because it could happen here tomorrow morning in some other fashion. But our response is not to look at our television and say, oh, how horrible. That's not an adequate response. Our response has to be to hear the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is calling his people to pray proactively for God's supernatural protection over this nation, and that God's people are to repent and intercede and ask God to restrain, to stop, to block, to prevent, or to limit the damage, or to completely stop such an event from happening here. Now, I realized I listed a whole series of responses that the Lord might do, but see, that's up to him. Our job is to ask him to restrain it, to stop it, to limit it. But I can tell you this with 100% certainty. If God's people do not hear the deafening warning that resides in what we're seeing in Nice and France, if God's people in America do not hear at the level of a deafening warning that it is going to come here, and the only thing that can stop it, restrain it, block it, or prevent it is for God's people to really get serious in intercessory prayer and ask the Lord to stop it, restrain it, and prevent it. If God's people do not obey him and begin to pray in the manner that I just described immediately, I'm talking about immediately, I'm talking about before tonight is over. What I'm saying to you, and I'm going to hold back. At first I said I'm going to shoot straight. Well, I did shoot straight, but now I'm going to hold back a little bit, because I don't want to run the risk of being misunderstood or having what I'm saying being construed as some kind of self-exaltation, which is not the intention. But what I'm telling you, with the greatest sobriety that I can possibly convey the message, I'm telling you that the Lord is warning America very loudly and very clearly, and that warning is directed towards his people who are supposed to be intercessors. There are things that are in the works towards America that are very dangerous, very demonic, and very destructive. They are going to happen, and they're going to produce a very bad sequence of results. But if God's people will hear the voice of the Lord and obey it, because the Lord is speaking to his people now, and the only person that would say that the Lord is not speaking to them is those people who have chosen through an act of their self-will to become deaf to the voice of the Lord. The Lord is speaking to his people, and he's commanding his people to pray and intercede for his supernatural protection, his restraint, his blocking, his preventing, and his limiting of disaster from terrorist attacks. It is up to God's people to engage in that kind of spiritual warfare and prayer, and God is commanding his people to do it now, immediately. If God's people will do that, if God's people will obey him, the hand of the Lord will descend upon our nation, and we will see restraints, limitations, a holding back. And even potentially, if we please the Lord, we will see God stop and uncover an attack before it happens. But if we do not stand in the gap and pray, there is nobody else to do it. Because, you see, our intelligence agencies, they can't possibly be God. They can't see everything and see everywhere. So I'm giving a prophetic warning, but I'm also giving a very powerful message of hope. This isn't a game. God has an expectation, and that expectation is that his people pray with the utmost seriousness. This is why I consider it a privilege to be on your program and to speak to everybody listening, because I know that there's a huge percentage of people listening who will respond in obedience, and God will honor our prayers. It's also the purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. We're trying to raise up intercessory prayer groups and individuals. We're trying to teach them and to motivate them and to call them to intercessory prayer through the radio program, through the books, through the DVDs, and through appearances on your show. That's what the purpose of my books are. I mean, they contain a prophetic warning. Every one of the books do, but they contain a solution in terms of prayer and things that God's people can do. So to summarize what I just said, there is and there exists great potential danger targeted towards the United States of America. But God can intervene. He can stop it, he can restrain it, he can limit it, and he can actually shut it down. What he is waiting for is for his people to come to him into the throne room and ask God to stop it as intercessors. And God is making a promise to his people, and those people who can hear the Spirit of the Lord know exactly what I'm talking about. Because in the atmosphere of our exchange tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking very strongly to people, and it's a summons from God, it's a summons from heaven to lay down the nonsense and to seek his face. And God is making a promise to his people. He's both summoning them to a call of action, but he's making a promise. If you will do what I'm asking you to do, which is to take this thing seriously and begin to intercede in prayer, the Lord on high is promising supernatural deliverance, supernatural restraint, and supernatural shutdowns of potentially devastating events. We don't look at it in passivity or mindless terror. God can stop it. He's waiting on us to ask him as intercessors. And the only thing I can say in summary to everything I just said is, what I've just said to you, I believe, was from the Lord. And you can discern or judge it as you will, but I believe that what I shared with you contained a very strong, a very urgent prophetic warning regarding something that is on the horizon that God wants to stop and shut down, but he has issued a summons and a command. And whether or not God shuts it down and prevents it is entirely dependent upon the response of his people. So, you know, as a watchman on the wall, and I'm not the only one, I've delivered the message.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much."
Amen.
And that goes for, you know, the intercessors. And you mentioned something important about hearing the voice of the Lord and those who are not hearing from the Lord. We've talked about the in the churches today, it seems to be you have one of two churches. Either you have a Bible-based church that is based on the precepts and foundations of the Lord, or you have a church that is for those who have the itching ears and are preaching another kind of Jesus and leaving out a whole lot of things aside from, you know, the love aspect of it. In your own personal experience with the prayer, what else should people do to make sure that they are hearing the voice of the Lord? And from reading scriptures, do you have any other, and I like the gratitude, you know, waking up and starting your day with realizing and thanking the Lord for what you do have. Simple things like this help me to stay on track Is there anything you can offer in advice for listeners out there who may be struggling to keep that relationship between Jesus and themselves on a daily basis going?
Yeah, and that would be, you know, there's the general commandment of God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So no matter what's going on, we're not to be given over to a spirit of fear. We're to be operating with power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is one that is psychologically sound. And number two, we're to be sober and to be vigilant. The idea is that God expects us to operate and run our brains in a manner which is psychologically sound. We're not to be taking tidbits of information and running off into states of hyper-paranoia. We're not to be grabbing a little bit of this or a rumor of that and kind of mixing it in a concoction and going off the deep end. We need to be people that gather information and facts from a variety of sources so that we know that we're getting accurate information. And even in relationship with what I just said, nobody should be running off half-cocked with that and adding to it and coming up with some kind of, like, you know, ultra paranoiac thing that I didn't say. It's to be sober, it's to be balanced, and we're to be rational and we're to be informed. So we're supposed to know what's going on in our nation politically, socially. We're supposed to know, for example, what's happening in Turkey, why it's happening, what's happening in the European Union, what's happening economically and in our own economics. We're supposed to be up to speed. We don't have to be experts in every field, but we need to be aware and we need to be people that are mentally focused and disciplined. Otherwise, God can't trust us. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Then we just
Absolutely.
Become kind of like crazy people.
And the discipline is a very important aspect of that. And I have been and at times continue to be undisciplined at, you know, certain days and weeks in as far as, you know, the reading of scripture I'm supposed to do and the studying.
Yeah,
and I'll be the first to admit that, you know, but when we realize and feel ourselves getting into that position, that's usually when we need to sit down, regardless of what we're doing, and start reading scripture and praying right then and there, because the Lord will impart things in you, impart wisdom and discernment, but you have to continue to have an open relationship with Him. And it's not something that is all-consuming in the sense that you need to always, you know, every second of the day pray and read your Bible, but you do have to keep the Lord and Jesus in the front of your mind when dealing with each and every situation. And only through discipline will that come, and through obedience will that come. And sadly today, too many Christians have been blinded by their own lack of study and lack of discernment. And it's very sad to see the Christians today, the people who call themselves Christians, who are lukewarm, and the lack of discernment that is in those groups. It is heartbreaking to see that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other thing is that, you know, God is a God of love, and God does not want to deprive us of hope for our lives. So even in relationship to what I just said, the word says hope deferred makes the heart sick. God does not want to give us just one kind of information which results in us becoming so frightened and so fearful that we lose our hope, and then we become sick, psychologically sick, despondent and despairing. Every one of us have been given freedom. We've been given choices. We've been given opportunities. And God's expectation for each one of us is that we utilize what He's given us in terms of talents and abilities. So this is not a time, despite what I said in terms of the urgency of a warning, simultaneously, this is a time for opportunity. It's a time to begin ministries. It's a time to begin businesses. It's a time to begin life. You know, when people come to me and say, well, I don't want to have kids because it's too scary. No, you're missing the point. Life goes on. You can have kids. You can get married. You don't wait for a perfect world to have kids. That's not a reason. Even in the last days, God said there will be marriage and giving in marriage. So life goes on. And despite terrorist attacks, life will go on for the people in France. A people group that I've learned an enormous amount from are those people that come from Israel and the Jewish people, and especially those whose parents or grandparents survived the Holocaust, and those who made their way to Israel in 1948. Despite all the intensities and terrorist attacks, I can't tell you how many people I've met who are Jewish who have managed to, at the same time, I mean, they have terrorist attacks, they have these horrible things going on, but at the same time, they've managed to build businesses, build careers, build families, be the people, women and men of God they're supposed to be. They don't allow these things to paralyze them from stopping living. So anything that I said or anything that people hear, we are called by God to continue to live abundantly. And we may have to fight to live abundantly, like fight corruption in our government and fight corrupt laws that would attempt to deprive us of the privilege of living abundantly. But we're called to live abundantly. So none of this should be construed as let's be terrified and hide in the basement, you know, in a paralysis of fear. We're to be bold, we're to be filled with love, and we're to be doing everything God called us to do with our lives. So this is not a time for fear. It may be a time that people are tempted to be fearful, but this is not a time to give into fear. And I certainly, in my own personal life, have no intention of giving into fear. I'm not going to hide anywhere, and I'm going to continue on doing, creating, and growing, and being the person I've been called to be. And I would hope that your listeners would do the same with their lives.
No, that's exactly right, and terrific insight. And I hope the listeners do take this advice and do so and act on it. Kind of switching gears here, Paul. We have about 15, 16 minutes before the top of the hour. I'd like to get your take, if we can, from a biblical perspective on what's happening with Turkey and their the failed coup there. Actually, what's going to happen, the consequences from the failed coup and the aligning with Russia, and if this is in or a part of the Bible prophecy of the end times. Many people are talking about, you know, this could Gog and Magog and the Psalm 83 war, that this is setting up the alliances that are needed to make the prophecy come to fruition. What do you see happening in Turkey or with Turkey in the future of NATO and also with Russia and Bible prophecy?
Well, as you asked the question, and it's very interesting, Turkey is named in Bible prophecy. It's named in Ezekiel 38. So Turkey is a key prophetic nation that is named in the Bible in terms of Bible prophecy. So it appears that this coup was instigated by the head of Turkey as a manufactured coup so that he could consolidate his power. Also consolidate his power with Islamic nations, and as I'm sure you know, and many of your listeners know, there's an area that Turkey controls or has influence over, which where there is a tremendous amount of nuclear bombs. I'm talking about specifically about the 50 B-61 nuclear bombs that are stored in underground vaults. And Turkey supposedly has been withholding military supplies from the U.S.-NATO joint Air Force installation near Turkey. And in that base, there happens to be 50 B-61 nuclear bombs. Now, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, these B-61 nuclear bombs, each one of them have 10 times the power of the atomic bombs that destroyed Hiroshima and Japan. So Turkey is a key geopolitical player, especially in relationship with NATO and Europe and its relationship with Russia. Again, we have this expansion of Russian power. We have the expansion of Chinese power, both military and economically. Some people speculate that China, because it's so busy storing so much gold, may make an attempt put forth a global currency based on a Chinese dollar, because they're accumulating such a large amount of gold. So Turkey is important because it's key in Bible prophecy, and this particular head of Turkey, it appears that he created his own coup to consolidate his power, and behind the scenes there's a fight between those in his government who would be of the militant Islamic faith or ideology, and those that are just kind of line up in terms of military controlled by the head of Turkey. So Turkey is also the gateway between Syria and the Middle East and Europe, and Turkey is also historically one of the centers of the world's most powerful empires was located in Turkey. So if we go back into Turkey's past, Turkey is not some weak little insignificant nation. Turkey was the center of a global empire for centuries.
Yeah. I don't know how in-depth you want to get in on the subject, but from Constantinople to Istanbul to the Ottoman Empire, are we seeing a reemergence of this Ottoman Empire? And what significance does Istanbul or former Constantinople play in the things that are going to be coming in the future?
Well, that's a very good question, and teachers of Bible prophecy have brought this up in the last 20 years. Chuck Misler, who's a friend of mine, has brought it up, as well as others. But the Roman Empire, or the revived Roman Empire, which many people believe is essentially where Europe is, and that goes back to Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel has a vision or a dream he interprets for King Nebuchadnezzar that begins with the Babylonian Empire and ends with the revived Roman Empire of 10 toes made out of ceramic material and metal. And many people believe that the revived Roman Empire is Europe. But the revived Roman Empire, when you go back in terms of history, it appears that the headquarters of the Roman Empire was not just in the area of the Vatican and some of the more European areas like Germany, but one of the heads of the Roman Empire, it appears it had in history, had two dual locations, and one was Istanbul in Turkey, where the Ottoman Empire was. So it appears historically that the Roman Empire was ruled from two different locations, one inside Europe near Italy and one in the area of Istanbul in the Ottoman Empire inside Turkey. So if that's true, the Ottoman Empire was an extremely powerful empire, and it only began to degrade in power before World War I. It started to seriously degrade. But prior to that, it was one of the most powerful empires in the world. And some people believe that Istanbul was the head of the Roman Empire. And if that's the case, and this is what the Bible prophecy teachers are speculating, what they're speculating is, does a revived Roman Empire, does it actually mean that the head of this new revived Roman Empire will be Islamic in nature, And will it come out of Istanbul and not say like the Vatican or Rome, as is most traditionally believed? So they're wondering, will this revived Roman Empire really come out of Istanbul? Will it be an Islamic-controlled revived Roman Empire? And that's the questions that surround Turkey and Istanbul and Constantinople.
Yeah, and we see, and this is something you've talked about quite often, is the Albert Pike Third World War letter to Mussolini. And it talks about this, the what would happen with the nihilist and the Muslims versus the Jews, and unleashing the atheist, as it says in the letter. Each day that goes by, it seems more and more like that is not a hoax letter, that is very accurate, and we're seeing it play out.
In A Prophecy of the Future of America, the first book, not the second book, in the first book, I have a number of chapters devoted to Pike's vision and his vision of three world wars. And let me just go over it in greater detail in the book, but there's a few points that people need to understand, and that is, of course, the Illuminati motto is order out of chaos, but Pike was one of the world's most powerful Illuminati leaders, and he lived in the United States of America. He was a Confederate general. He was in communication with the Illuminati leader and Italian communist Manzini, and he had this vision, which he wrote down, of three world wars and what would start these three world wars, which is very odd because all of these world wars happened exactly as he described, how he described they would happen, and he knew that they would happen before they would happen. Now, I'm not, you know, saying he's like a biblical prophet or anything, but his final world war that Mazzini talked about was this planned Illuminati and Luciferian revolution. And in this vision or dream that he claimed to have, the final World War III would be between Europe and the United States. It would occur primarily in the Middle East, but it would spread globally, and it would be a battle over Israel, and it would be a battle of the Western nations or the so-called Christian nations fighting Islam. So it would be a global world war that would involve the loss of millions and millions of people, and it would be a battle between the West and militant Islam. And as you referred to, the game plan of the Illuminati is that after this horrific world war between Israel, the Jews, and Islam, that there would be so many millions of people dead, there would be so many weapons of mass destruction used, that people would be in complete despair and horror, and they would give up, and in their total despair and in their total psychological brokenness, they would give up all faith in God, all faith in the biblical God, and turn towards the worship of Lucifer. And so that was the secret game plan of the Illuminati, was to create a World War III that is so horrific, so disastrous, that would involve a global conflict between militant Islam and the European nations, that it would cause mankind to reach such a state of despair and hopelessness that they would be, for the first time, ripe to worship Lucifer as their god. So it's an eerie prophecy, but he was right on the creation of the first two world wars, and let's hope he's not right on the third, but it looks like he may be right. Maybe that's what we're going into. And
Yeah.
The point is, the Illuminati uses it It uses the hopelessness of mankind to drive them into a completely anti-God world, where they literally then begin to worship Lucifer.
Yeah, and we've seen that, you know, and you've talked about this on our show, and at the conferences I've seen you speak at and written about this in your books about the satanic and Luciferian worship that's been going on in California. Last week, I believe it was, there was in Pensacola City, a satanic prayer opened in a city council meeting, and mm-hmm. we see also, you know, the what we talked about with Ben Carson and Saul Alinsky dedicating his book to Lucifer. We see the rise of this Luciferian religion and the worship of Lucifer in the open square and the public square, as well as the rise of the satanic church and these monuments of Baphomet that have been going on, up everywhere. And, you know, again, it speaks to the dedication of these people and how they feel about their religion of Luciferianism. And when we look at the Christian religion, we don't see the same dedication there as we do on the Luciferian side. And we have just a few minutes before the break, and this is something that we can carry over into the next hour. And then I'd like to talk about the some updates that have been happening with police officers at the RNC and also the attacks on police, if we can get into that. But can you speak to the rise of populism? And I know you wrote about this in your first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, but there's articles from the Financial Times to the Economist that talk about this rise of populism. And, you know, from the Brexit to other instances of how they say the citizens, the governments are losing control of the citizens due to this populist movement.
Yeah, well, all across the world and in the United States, and that's represented by the Trump candidacy, and across Europe, the Europeans, the masses of people that are Europeans from Europe, great numbers of the middle class and working class in Europe and America, they no longer have any trust towards the establishment candidates, establishment institutions like the international banks, the heads of the political parties, and they are looking for populist candidates that will champion nationalism, like candidates that will be America First or Make America Great Again, not the candidates that are obviously working for the globalists. Because in Europe, whether it's Germany, France, Italy, or Great Britain, as well as in America, we have the greater percentage of politicians that are really working for the globalist elite. And everything, all the policies that they put forward, all the programs that they put forward, everything that they vote for is for the benefit of the globalists and the international bankers and the globalist elite. And the people are waking up to that, and they're no longer supporting those candidates. And when we say those candidates, those are the majority of the mainstream candidates in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, as well as in Europe. So there's an awakening among the populace, the common people, regarding this great betrayal that their leaders are working on behalf of the elite, the super elite. And so there's a mass awakening. That's the name of a book I wrote.
Yeah.
I didn't intend to say it that way, but there's a mass awakening going on across Europe and the United States where people are looking for candidates that will support the actual people, the middle class and the working class. There's a very acute awareness. The same thing that occurs in the media. When you look at the majority of the cable news networks, they are all official mouthpieces for the globalist elite. They are working on behalf of the globalist elite. They're not putting forth the news. They're not disclosing information that will help the middle class or the working class. The sole reason for the existence of most of the major media outlets is to support and promote the elite class.
That's exactly right. And a new article from the Financial Times talks about the populist credo replaces patriotism with nationalism and promotes contempt for traditional institutions. Folks, we're talking with Paul McGuire. We're going to come back and touch on this as well as other domestic issues on the other side. Stay with us with Paul McGuire for hour number three of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.